Eric Mason, Adam Bingen, and David Janes here with you. Breaking news within the past few hours. The Tennessee Titans have fired head coach Brian Callahan. A statement released by Titans president of football operations, Chad Brinker, in conjunction with the news. Quote, after extended conversations with our owner and GM, we met with Brian Callahan this morning to tell him we are making a change at head coach. These decisions are never easy, and they become more difficult when they involve people of great character. We are grateful for Brian's investment in the Titans and Tennessee community during his tenure as head coach. We thank him and his family for being exemplary ambassadors of the Tennessee Titans, while we are committed to a patient and strategic plan to build a sustainable winning football program. We have not demonstrated sufficient growth. Our players, fans, and community deserve a football team that achieves a standard we are not currently meeting, and we are committed to making the hard decisions necessary to reach and maintain that standard, end quote. That a statement from Titans president of football operations, Chad Brinker. Brian Callahan's tenure ends at 4 wins, 19 losses. Derek Mason, let's get right to it. Your reaction to the Titans firing Brian Callahan earlier today.
I know what you want. I know you want me to go crazy, everybody. I know you want me to just yell and scream and I told you so, or they should have kept him. But that's not the case. Look, you are what your records say you are. He understood that he was on a hot seat coming into the season. And at no point in this season, outside of a quarter, has this team showed significant growth. Now, you could point at, you know, Jeffrey Simmons playing at a elite level. But Jeff has played at this level prior to Brian Callahan. So we knew that Jeff could play this way, but you know, the last two seasons he was injured a lot. But outside of that, you're not seeing enough growth. Actually, what you're seeing is regression in this team. And I'm not pointing out one specific person. I'm just saying, as a team, you're seeing this team regress. You're seeing a head coach that, in his last press conference, he just looked dejected. He looked tired. He looked as if he didn't know what else to do. And this is why I don't want to sort of, you know, drag the Predators into this, because they're coming off a big win, 2-0 to start off the season, and that's great. But remember last year when Brunette was trying to figure the lines out, and he was just like, man, I've tried everything. Like, I don't. You know, the players are just going to have to, because there's no more moves we can, you know, realistically make. That was the look on Brian Callahan's face. Coach Brunoff, at least for the first two games, seemed to figure this out. And, you know, I think his seat is cooling off as of now. But Brian Callahan, he's in the first phase of that. Of that feeling of, I've given up play calling. I've hired other coach. You know, I went outside and I hired this special teams coach. We drafted a quarterback number one. We went out and we paid this money for this left tackle. We went out 2 years ago and got the wide receiver who we thought was the number one wide receiver. And even after all of that, I can't get this team no further than what they were last year. That is just frustration. That is, you're at a point where you just like, man, here, somebody else take the job. First, I had to give up my play calling, and now even with me giving up my play calling and being more, you know, splitting my time amongst everybody, being more judicial with my time when it comes to every position, it still hadn't looked any better. And the Titans, I think at the beginning of the season, they knew this was going to be the outcome. They knew it. Look at the roster. Look at who they brought in. Look at what what we would call your veteran, your top end guys. Look at how they're performing. And you're going to add a rookie quarterback to the mix. This isn't a recipe for disaster. We just need to manage this the best way we know how. But Brian Callahan, I think they were thinking, we already got a contingency plan. Now, I don't know why they haven't named an interim coach yet, but I want to believe that this team, when knowing that they were going to fire, because, again, I think they had this in their mind at the beginning of the season. But if you know this is the case, then why haven't you, or do you just want to wait for the press conference to name your next interim coach, which may as well happen. But it just seems like things are just out there, and nobody's talking about it from the organization. Yes, you're getting, statements being made in press releases, but nobody is talking. And what time is it? Almost 4 o'clock? I mean, who does that? You, and this is what I mentioned to you earlier before the show. We haven't heard, and I'm sure we will hear from, but we haven't heard from Borgonzi or Brinker since the season started, I don't think. And that's a shame, because you traded away a pivotal piece, a young pivotal piece on your defense, and you let the head coach, take and field all the questions while y'all hid, behind, the cloak. Or stood behind the cloak, behind the veil. But y'all let him take all the shots. That, to me, shows that, y'all wasn't really in it with him or for him. Because if you're in it with him and for him, aren't you out there with him to explain this? But you're not. You could tell us all you want to tell us. But your actions show that you wasn't with this man in the first place. It started before he even gave away his duties. That was the last straw. He was like, damn, okay, I give away my duties. But you traded away a critical piece of your defense, and you had the head coach discuss it with the media instead of the people who put together the trade. Who does that? That's the stuff that, like, fans, like people that follow, they're like, man, what's really going on here?
To your point, the Tennessee Titans have not named an interim head coach. That was not in the announcement that Brian Callahan had been fired. There has been no reporting to suggest who that interim coach could be. Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker, it's my understanding that they will address reporters at some point. I'm not sure if that is today. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us at 4 o'clock. We can ask him that question. There was supposed to be a news conference at 2:30. That, of course, was canceled following the news that the Titans had fired Brian Callahan. And, Derek, this is what I was going to say before the news broke about Brian Callahan being fired after 23 games as an NFL head coach. 4 wins, 19 losses. After that loss yesterday, a 20-10 loss in Las Vegas to the Raiders. The Tennessee Titans have become a complete and total waste of time. I watch the games because it's my job to watch the games. We come on the air, we break down the game, and I can't do that if I don't watch the game. And I spent more than 3 hours yesterday watching that miserable game. At least the game last week against Arizona was entertaining, albeit for the wrong reasons most of the time. But at least that game was entertaining. The Tennessee Titans have become a massive time suck. Like, I've said this before, Titans fans, I commend you for watching this football team. If you do not have to watch this football team, Derek, you have to.
Yes.
I have to. Those of us on the station, we have to. This team is a mess. There is nothing redeeming about watching this team play football. The offense is just terrible. And if not for Jeffrey Simmons playing his ass off, the defense would be even worse. And it's not even great to begin with. So just think about the massive amount of turnover that this organization has undergone since December 2022, so not even 3 calendar years. The Titans in that span have fired John Robinson, hired Rand Carthon, fired Mike Vrabel, promoted Chad Brinker, hired Brian Callahan, fired Rand Carthon, hired Mike Borgonzi, and fired Brian Callahan. That is all since December 2022. That is an extraordinary amount of dysfunction. And the Tennessee Titans are exactly that. Dysfunction. functional. So I think the Titans made the right choice. After you watch Brian Callahan go out there, and we'll talk about the offense because I did some research. I guess that's my new catchphrase. I did some research before the show, before all of this news broke, about just how terrible this team's offense is. Brian Callahan had to go, and I noticed this a couple of weeks ago. He looked like, and you said this just now, Derek Mason, Brian Callahan looked like a coach who had run out of answers. The gray in his beard became a lot more pronounced over the past couple of weeks when you watch his news conference. His news conferences. He was getting more combative in those news conferences. You could tell that Brian Callahan was at his wit's end. And I honestly think the Tennessee Titans did Brian Callahan a favor by firing him today. I'm sure he feels relieved, and he's still getting paid, and he doesn't have to worry about this anymore. But just, it's yet another example of just how far this organization has fallen in a relatively short amount of time. I don't know how this compares to other organizations around the NFL, but I feel like this era of Tennessee Titans football is going to be studied by front offices around the NFL on how not to operate an NFL franchise. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We want your reaction all show long to the news that the Tennessee Titans have fired Brian Callahan after 23 games. He leaves with a record of 4 wins, 19 losses. No interim coach has been named at the moment. We will discuss that and more with Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. He will join us next. Again, 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky inside the Mint Gaming Hall. Head up here and watch the Bills and the Falcons, as well as the Bears against the Commanders on Monday Night Football. D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. The breaking news in Tennessee earlier today, the Titans have fired head coach Brian Callahan. Joining us to discuss that on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport, who is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. Teron, you were in Las Vegas yesterday for the Titans' loss against the Raiders. As you were in the locker room, still at Allegiant Stadium, did you get any sort of vibe that this move could be imminent?
I did, honestly. And obviously the product that was on the field was atrocious. But I think if you go beyond that, you look at the comments. When Jeffrey Simmons said that they came out flat and he said that it was one of the worst weeks of practice, that told me all I needed to know. I said, hey, you know what, let's go ahead and get this darn pre-write tweaked up and updated with this Raiders loss and get it ready to go. I'm just thankful that they did it while I was back here in Nashville and not on the plane, because I didn't want to do Wi-Fi. I wanted to go to sleep.
Well, Teron, this is a big picture question. What went wrong for Brian Callahan?
How much time do we have here?
We've got plenty of time right now since you just came on.
No, I say that jokingly. I mean, a lot of things went wrong. You know, he was brought in to be a guy to help develop the future franchise quarterback. And obviously last year, Will Levis regressed, and Cam Ward hasn't been promising. So you have that. You have the fact that they have a 174 win percentage since the start of last season. You know who's had a worse one than that? John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh. I tell you, nobody. You look at the points, right? 83 points through the first 6 weeks of the season. That's the least that they've had since 1985. I was 9 years old, guys. I'm 49 right now. So, I mean, you have that. You have some of the on-the-field procedure things, you know, not challenging Alec Allemander's catch in week one. You have obviously the stuff that happened, you know, the following week. And then you look at just the way this organization, right? The team, if I had to ask you, okay, what is one trademark of this team? Like, what's something that you know this offense is going to do?
You can't think of one.
Anything positive. You could say, oh, well, I know they're going to run the ball on first down. I know they're going to have screens. And I know, you know, on those screens, the DB is going to turn into Ronnie Lott. You could say that, but you can't say anything positive. So, I mean, a lot has gone wrong. It's unfortunate. You never want to see anybody lose their job. But we know what this league is, right? It's result-oriented. And when you don't bring the results, these are the consequences.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Teron, when the Titans announced that they were firing Brian Callahan, no interim coach was named. What are you hearing about the options at interim coach? And is it possible that the Titans could look outside the organization to fill that role?
Well, I think anything's possible right now with this organization. I haven't heard anything along those lines, but what I heard is they're still sorting through that. Now, this isn't something that just automatically suddenly popped on the agenda this morning. This is something that we know has been considered for quite some time. So how they've managed to get to this point where there's all this sorting out. I mean, typically when a team fires a coach, the interim is named. Now, you don't always have a father-son tandem, so I get that. And I would imagine, well, I know that's something that they're sorting through, but at the same time, it's not new news. Like, this is something you've known. It looks like there was a failure to prepare, and you know when you prepare, when you fail to prepare, you're preparing to fail. So it's not a good look on the organization at all right now with how long it's taken. An interim should have been announced quite some time ago, because whoever it is, they got to dig in and get this thing going, because you know who's coming on Sunday? Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots. And you can rest assured that Vrabel is going to be looking to drop at the minimum a 40 burger on them, and at the minimum 0 points allowed.
Yeah, Teron, this whole thing has been, whereas it's not a shocker, but it is sort of like, okay, you did fire him. Shouldn't there be like a, but he's taking his place until we, you know, either he earns the job or until we, you know, go out and find another coach when the season ends. But do you think, because you said you sort of had a feeling, was this a must win for him, or was it just, hey, even if they win, because we don't want to deal with this if they get blown out by Mike Vrabel and then have to then fire him after that? Was this a complete must win and this team had to look a certain way?
And that's the thing, D-Mace. I really think that they wanted to make sure that the firing wasn't Mike Vrabel's fault. Mm-hmm. and they got this done before he came in here and put the, you know, belt to butt. And the crazy part of it is, yeah, to a degree, you did that. But technically, you still made it about Vrabel because you fired him before he beat you to make you fire the coach anyway. So I just think it's just so poorly managed. And it's I don't know that I've ever seen, you know, a professional organ. Like, this reminds me of watching that movie Major League, right? But it's just like what is the reason why this organization, I'm not going to say they want to lose, but just using the Major League analogy, it's like, what is the reason why things are being conducted like so poorly? It's ridiculous.
Now, with that being said, because it seemed like, you know, this was sort of, you know, done in a way where now, you know, the bottom half has to regroup, and now we have to find, you know, guys to fill this role. But when you're looking at it, do you almost see it as, you know, this team is in a space where, you know, yeah, you fired the head coach, but what about the guys that are above him? Because Brinkert is still the guy that has been here through some of this mess. But yet and still, it's fire the coach. And then what is it going to be? Fire the GM next? I don't understand the sort of we're going to do the firing in phases, but the one guy gets to keep his job. I don't get that part.
Man, listen. Well, one thing that I used to always
say. And do you think they
is,
can get it right, TD?
Yeah, that's a good question. And one thing I always would say is, if the apocalypse came, like, I'm rolling with Mason Kinsey. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to add a name to that, because Chad Brinker has a way of surviving. And look, like, I'm not on here saying, hey, he needs to be fired or anything like that. But you know, he is the one common denominator through all of this. And again, I'm not saying he needs to be fired, but I think you need to look at that like, okay, well, wait a minute. Like, what role have you played in this? You know what I mean? And I know Chad has his qualities, but at the same time, who's in charge of all this? And at what point is the person in charge going to be held responsible? So you're right. I don't think there's any like, – what reason would any rational person have to say, hey, they could get it figured out? Like, they've shown us over the last 2 years, last 3 years, honestly, that they can't. You know what I mean? And it's just been one thing after another, and it just continues to add up. And look, like, no offense to Chad Brinker, but what is he – like, he hasn't shown – us anything to believe that he can't get turned around. Yeah, he was with Green Bay, but he was with Green Bay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think ultimately, if Brinker were smart, and I know he's a very intelligent man, he would allow Mike Borgonzi to run the show. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a part of leadership. Be willing to take that step back while somebody who, I'm not going to say is more qualified, but somebody who is very good at what they're doing gets a chance to do it. And hey, look, you know what? Together, we'll accept the glory. You know what I mean? I think it has to be that way.
Teron, we'll get your reaction on this. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network is reporting that Mike McCoy is expected to be named the Titans' interim head coach. Mike McCoy, of course, the Chargers head coach from 2013 through 2016, had a four-year record of 27 wins, 37 losses. He's been serving as a senior offensive assistant with the Titans. Your reaction to McCoy, is that the quote-unquote easiest choice for interim coach?
No, I don't think it's the easiest choice. I have heard that he was a strong possibility. Again, does anything surprise you with this team at all? I'm really curious, you know, what this says to the locker room, because Denard Wilson has been there, and the defense, you know, has been one thing that, for the most part, until the dam breaks because there's too much water continuously flowing against it, has been good, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but I do think that and wonder how this is going to work with the locker room.
Now, TD, beside the, obviously, you know, the firing of Brian Callahan is the top of everybody's mind and every story, but, you know, the play on the field, to say it was bad, I think that's an understatement. But it just didn't seem as if this team knew how to consistently put together drives to move the ball down the field. And I understand Cam had his turnovers, and I think under that situation, any quarterback would have had his turnovers. But I'm watching a game, and I think I see a quarterback that is getting better under the situation he's in.
I mean, it's so tough because you look at the play calling, right? And you go back and you look at what Cam Ward did so well in college, right? The RPOs, they're moving the pocket. He's taking vertical shots. They played horizontal football yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. All these the between the tosses or the screens or you know, all that, it was horizontal football. There was no threat whatsoever to go vertical. And I, as a receiver, if you watched that game from above and looked down and saw that mess, you would have had to have a washcloth because you had to wipe your head from sweating out of anger because, you know, the safeties began to cheat up more and more. And there were multiple occasions where, you know, it was Alec Iremanner and Caillou Blue Kelly or the other corner lined up out wide. And I was telling Chase this the whole game. I was like, look at this. Look how the safeties are. Because it would be single high, and that single high would be away from that one-on-one over there. I'm talking about to the point where he's almost at the opposite hash, and there's no attempt to make them pay. None. Hmm. I don't get it. So, I mean, yeah, obviously Cam Ward has not been the best player. He's been bad. But at the same time, it's like, why not let him do what he does? Like, you don't go buy a sports car and take it on a dirt road. Like, you're supposed to drive that thing on an open highway and open it up and do what it does, you know, and that's not what's happening here.
Now, after all of this, the firing of a head coach, obviously the way that this team has looked on the field basically every game with the exception of one quarter, and that was the last quarter of two games ago. Can you potentially now see the Titans being a player as far as trades? Because now they know there's unless there's a miracle, McCoy can do a miracle, this team's not going anywhere. And then you have players on your roster that could potentially get you, you know, what you coveted, and that's draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, look, nothing can be ruled out right now with this organization. It's dysfunctional, no direction. So I wouldn't be surprised by anything outside of Cam Ward being traded. Outside of Cam Ward, like, I personally think that anything is on the table.
Jerron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every week, and he is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law, and he is fueled by Parman Energy. Jerron, thank you so much for your time. I know it's been a hectic day for you. We'll catch up soon.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all good, man. I love action, so it's fun, man. It's a rush. It's adrenaline. It kind of brings you back to college days playing ball.
Appreciate you, Jerron.
All right, folks. Take it easy.
Yep.
615-737-1025. We will take your reaction to the Tennessee Titans firing Brian Callahan. It has been reported by Tom Pelissero of NFL Network that Mike McCoy, who has been serving as a senior offensive assistant with the Titans, will be named interim head coach. McCoy coached the Chargers for four seasons. As Pelissero notes, McCoy took the Chargers to the playoffs in his first season as head coach with Philip Rivers at quarterback. McCoy had a record of 27-37 as the Chargers head coach between 2013 and 2016. Your reaction, everything is on the table. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick is presented to you by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com.
Holy
breaking.
Adam Schefter told us in the last hour, I don't forecast any coaches getting fired anytime in the near future, but there's a chance that I get off this call and I get a text and somebody's been fired. They have.
We can guess it.
Callahan fired. Tennessee Titans.
Wow. You didn't guess it.
Deadly. We would like to say, Coach Callahan, obviously following Mike Vrabel down there in Nashville, from what I've learned about the people of Nashville and how they felt about Mike Vrabel, not only the coach, but the human he was and how connected he was to the community, and obviously the unceremonious exit that he had from the Tennessee Titans, and then also being able to earn the number one seed for the Tennessee Titans in the AFC when they had like 100 guys on the IR. Like, Vrabel was, I think, beloved by Titans fans. I think there wasn't a lot of positive. I think Vrabel was certainly one of them in the community. So whenever he's just kind of kicked to the curb and then Callahan's brought in and it goes the way it goes, and then Ryan, obviously, and it goes the way it goes, I think this guy was swimming upstream a lot,
yeah.
Okay? And obviously it didn't work out.
That was Pat McAfee reacting in real time to the news that the Tennessee Titans had fired Brian Callahan. Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com. I'll spit it out for you. Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com has tweeted within the past 3 minutes. No surprise here, but Paul says, quote, "One person in the building whose opinion I trust is certain Bill Callahan will resign." Again, no surprise there. If a team fires your son, you're not sticking around, Derek Mason. So Paul Kaharsky notes that it is certain, or one person whose opinion he trusts within the Titans facility says it is certain that Bill Callahan will resign. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We have a lot of reaction from you. We want to hear more of it. 615-737-1025. Jason in Manchester says, "The front office needs firing too. Any management that had a chance at two generational talents, Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, and could have taken either or traded back for more picks are incompetent. And if you're going to fire another coach, then clean house again." Robert on our text line says, "On behalf of the Titans, I would like to apologize to Jeffrey Simmons for wasting his career." Another texter says, "Amy is clueless or just doesn't care. Brinker cannot make good hires or football decisions. Their drafting has sucked. So just a sample of your reaction on our text line. Call us as well, 615-737-1025. It has been reported that Mike McCoy, who has been working as an offensive assistant slash analyst for the Tennessee Titans, a former head coach of the Chargers, he will take over as interim head coach. That's been reported first by Tom Pelissero and then confirmed by many others. And Derek, Teron said something when we brought that up to him that was interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what Mike McCoy does. I don't know how often he's interacting with the players or he's on the practice field. That is a better question for Teron Davenport or Paul Kaharsky, among others. But Teron wondered how McCoy's promotion will go over in the locker room. The other two coaches who had been discussed as potential interim coaches, mm-hmm. Bones Fossil, special teams coordinator, who has interim coach experience.
Yes.
He replaced Jeff Fisher with the, I believe it would have been the LA Rams at the time, right? Yeah. I think that would have been the first season in LA, if I'm not mistaken, 2016. He replaced Jeff Fisher at the end of Jeff Fisher's time in the Rams organization. He lost all three games. He was the interim coach. And then Denard Wilson. But Wilson and Fossil are in the trenches with these guys every single day. I'm not sure Mike McCoy is. What do you make of that assertion from Teron Davenport?
I mean, it would, as a veteran in that locker room, you do wonder, why did they choose to go outside of the sort of locker room, in a sense? And I preface all of this with saying, listen, now, I don't know if Mike McCoy was in the trenches talking to the players, you know, interacting with them like that, coaching them up. I don't know if he was doing that. He could have been. But I am going to just presume he wasn't, because he's an offensive assistant. And when I think of an offensive assistant, I'm thinking of a guy that's doing a lot of the film work, a lot of the breaking it down, but he's not really interacting with everybody on the team. Now, he may interact with some of the offensive guys, yes, because that is what he's tasked to do as far as breakdown and helping out. But when you're talking about the whole team, I'm not sure he has that much interaction. So with that being said, you're bringing a team that's basically in turmoil, have no identity, really so inconsistent that, again, after a win, they have a Thursday practice where it's just a dud. You shouldn't have that. So you're asking a guy that hasn't been with these guys, hasn't stood up in front of them and spoken to them every day, haven't went over X's and O's with them, haven't sat down with them and just talked about family time. He hasn't done all that, but you're asking him to lead them? That don't make no damn sense. And listen, I'm saying that if he hasn't, I don't know if he has. Maybe he has. And if he has, then okay, you can do that because they have a relationship with them. But I'm assuming from my experience in things like that happened, I don't know this guy like that. From a defensive standpoint, a veteran, maybe one of two veterans, because he's been around the league, so you may. But you're not dialed in. You don't know the heartbeat of the team like that. So y'all went out and got him instead of getting a Fossil or a Wilson who knows the heartbeat. I know this team ain't doing well, but at least they know the players.
The counter argument would be that this move would be the least disruptive because Bones Fossil can still stick on special teams. Denard Wilson can keep focusing on the defense. Bo Hardigree, we assume, will continue calling plays. So it's the least disruptive of the options. That would be my counter argument.
But you're still an outsider. So now you got to build attachments to individuals. Now you got to call in meetings. Now we got to go over here and I got to tell you what I want. And now we got to set a whole new agenda. Instead of, hey, we're going to go with, you know, Bones Fossil. We're going to go with, you know, Denard Wilson or another senior outside of another Callahan, but another senior coach that has really been in it. Because I'm not inserting you to win ball games. Because, listen, our roster is not, we can't do that. So I'm not inserting you to think, oh, all of a sudden that, oh my goodness, we're going to have this resurgence and rebirth, and now we're going to be a playoff team. I am just hiring you to manage this, like calm the waters just a little bit. And I'm not sure if an outsider that doesn't know, again, this is all if he hasn't spent time with the team. So I'm saying all this as if he didn't or hasn't. So you're asking an outsider to come in to all of a sudden navigate and calm the waters. You're going to be in more dysfunction. And he's just a stopgap.
By the way, my favorite interim coach name that was floated out there before this announcement, I shared it with you,
yeah.
Mike Florio mentioned Eddie George as the interim coach for the Tennessee Titans. Like, I wonder if Eddie George would be interested, hearkening back to what the Indianapolis Colts did a few years ago when they plucked Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday.
Not Friday, but yeah. Saturday.
Plucked Jeff Saturday off of, you know, ESPN. I think he went 1-7.
But he knew
coach.
That he was going back to ESPN with
right.
the same job.
Right. I can't imagine Eddie George would have left Bowling Green to come be the Titans interim coach if he didn't have any sort of assurance that
exactly.
he was going to be the coach full-time moving forward. Let's get to your reaction, 615-737-1025. Let's go to Trey on our phone line. Trey, thank you for calling.
Hey,
please go ahead.
Hey, Trey.
Hey, I just want to say, hey, don't y'all think that, because I know y'all was talking about it like last year and stuff and all the way up into this year, and y'all kind of predicted that halfway, you know, around the first beginning of the season, that they was going to sacrifice him and fire him, you know, since last year. But I think that was just like low-hanging fruit, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody was complaining about it, and I think that was just low-hanging fruit. But who really should got fired was Brinker, you know, because he's orchestrating this mess. And them hiring the McCoy guy, you know, if he had anything as far as like, you know, game planning or looking at the playbook or, you know, analyzing stuff like that, it's not going to get better. How is it going to get better? Like Darius said, it won't get better, you know, and it's up to Cam to figure out what he wants to do as far as learning how to play the game. You can give him all the plays in the world, but if he don't execute them, it's on him. And Brian, that's bad about Brian, but he need to take that little check. And you know what I'm saying? Have a good life, because it won't get better, guys. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey.
Listen, I want – because I came into today thinking we're going to talk about Cam Ward and his offense. And I was going to be a stark defender of Cam Ward. Why? Because I went back and I watched the film. Again, I'm not going to be a stark defender of an individual unless I watched the film. I went back and I watched that film. Listen – all quarterbacks, you know, if you want to talk about the ball sleeping, it happens to everybody. This just the Titans is a bad team, and when he does it, it's just magnified even more. So the slipping out of his hand, the fumble. I mean, Joe Montana would have fumbled on that play. By the time he took a deep breath, the dude was in his nostrils, and the ball was out. He took a good hit. Okay, he tried to protect the ball. The ball got knocked out. The interception. Another, he's going back and he's revving that thing up out the throw, and it gets hit. Like, I don't think people really, like, watch the game. Do you watch the game to gain knowledge on what you're seeing, or do you just watch the game to hope something bad happens so you could talk about it? Because if you watch the game, you understand, like, some things are just out of his control. Like, when he revs back to throw the football and somebody hits on, that's out of his control. Or like when he takes the snap, and before he can take a deep breath, the dude is in his nostril. That's out of his control. Now, the ball slipping, that was totally him. Loose and careless with the football. But I'm expecting, like, what is he supposed to do when nobody's getting open? They're running damn screen routes all day behind the line of scrimmage. They don't know how to block that yet, and they still throw it. Guys dropping footballs, you know, and then his best receiver gets hurt. And when his best receiver got hurt, what happened to the offense? It diminished even more. Because I didn't see the game in real time because I was on a plane, so I was trying to catch it. So I was like, what happened to Ridley? So I had to go back and watch the game. I'm like, oh, he left in the first quarter. No wonder that offense couldn't move.
Hamstring injury.
Yeah. So, people, look at the game and know the circumstance around this young man. I've been imploring, like, please do that before you come on. And I get it. You can do that. I understand it. But don't just come with the same stuff, because if you're watching the tape, this kid isn't – he got his percentage back up. It was up to 68% completion rate. He was 20-something for 30-something for 30, I think, 22 for 30-something.
26 of 38.
Yeah. So he would – as far as throwing the football, he did a good job. He worked with what he had. What do y'all expect him to do? Be a miracle worker on a team that has no miracles whatsoever? He is too young to be in a position to overcome what this organization, where they are inept at.
Well, here is the question a lot of people are probably shouting at you who are listening to us right now. If you want to shout at Derek directly, you can call at 615-737-1025. If the Titans had known all of those things, if they knew that they were ill-prepared to put a rookie quarterback in the best position to succeed, why did they draft the rookie quarterback?
Because you would be a dummy not to draft a guy you believe is an elite guy in a franchise quarterback just because your team's not ready to get him yet. Who does that? So I'm going to pass up on this guy that I believe can be a generational guy, or a guy that can lead me to a Super Bowl. Let's just say that. A guy that can lead. Why the hell am I going to pass him up because my organization isn't ready yet? That doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to take him, and I'm going to try to do my best to hold on until we can continue to build up our roster and make it better. That's what I would say to those individuals that would say that.
Let's go to Gil from Cali on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gil, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have to agree 100% with that comment right there. I mean, it would not make sense to pass up a young, good quarterback because your team is not ready. That means that's just I don't even know how people can even think like that. But my question to you guys is, all that you've seen, I want to see what both of you guys say. From 1 to 10, what do you think, like, what are the chances do you think the Titans will draft and we'll pick the right coach? And I'll go back, I'll sit back and listen.
Thank you, Gail. Well,
that's what everybody's wondering.
That is an interesting/loaded question, because as a lot of people have noted on our text line, Chad Brinker is now public enemy number one. Mm-hmm. His human shield, Brian Callahan, is no longer here to protect him. Many texters have said, what's the common denominator in all of this organizational upheaval over the past few years? It's Chad Brinker. Chad Brinker is now firmly in the line of fire for Tennessee Titans fans. So that's an interesting question, Gil, because do we trust Brian Callahan? He's no longer here. Do we trust Chad Brinker? Do we trust Mike Borgonzi? Do we trust Amy Adams Strunk, Burke Nihil? Whichever front office folks are making this decision, they just hired Brian Callahan, and we saw how that turned out. So, Titans fans, I think you have every right, I think you are well within reason, to distrust this front office in making this decision.
It's just, I mean, everybody's been through a situation where, you know, something happens, whether it's your children or whether it's a spouse. And, you know, at the end of all of it, you say, well, do you trust me? And what is typically the response? I want to trust you, but what have you shown me? Like, what have you shown me? I want to trust you. I'm sticking in. But what have you, like, show me something first. Show me you can get it right, and then I start trusting you. That's where the Titan fan base is with the organization. That's where I am with the organization, with Amy, Brinker, Borgonzi. I want to trust them. Some people don't even want to trust them. They're like, damn, I'm done with it. Amy, sell a team, get rid of Brinker. Borgonzi, I hate it, but you going to start all over. Some people think that way. But I want to believe that they can get it right. Maybe I'm just that naive to think that, and hopeful to think that this organization that drafted me, that I spent 8 great years here, and still get to cover them. I want to believe and hope to believe that they can get it right. But you got to show it first. So I'm sure I'm not going to say a large group of individuals, but I'm sure I'm with a group that probably thinks the same about their team. Like, I want to believe them. I'm going to continue to root for them. But, man, y'all hadn't shown me anything yet.
615-737-1025. We see your calls. We see your texts. We'll get to them next. Your reaction to the Titans firing Brian Callahan, Mike McCoy reportedly named interim head coach. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll hear what Jeffrey Simmons had to say yesterday after the game that absolutely had to be the nail in the coffin for Brian Callahan. We'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025. Mondays were made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action. From Queso to kickoffs, this is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12th South. Don't miss a snap.
Yeah, I mean, that is disappointing. I mean, when you could, I mean, in this league, you have to learn how to stack wins. And to be able to carry that momentum over, you have to do, I mean, start at practice. You know, this probably was one all first week of practice. Came out flat Thursday and things like that in that nature too. You know, sometimes things carry over, and when you get in this league, you have to prove it every week and reprove it. You know, you got to go out there and keep proving yourself, your team, that you can win this league. And you know, we didn't do that on all three phases. And you know, today was bad football. You know, we didn't play good today at all. So.
I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the breaks.
That was Jeffrey Simmons after the Titans lost to the Raiders yesterday. Terrible week of terrible week of practice, apparently, Derek Mason. And when I heard that clip, I saw it circulating on social media last night. I heard Jeffrey Simmons say that, and I thought to myself, how did this happen? When you are as bad as the Tennessee Titans, you can ill afford to have a bad week of practice. And then it reminded me of what happened last year after they won a game against the Houston Texans, then went on the road and got their asses kicked by the Washington Commanders. And Jeffrey Simmons said, "We were hungover by success." To me, that is a sign that the coach is not getting through to the team. If your leader says after a loss following your first win of the season that you had one of the worst practices you can remember leading up to the game, that is an indictment of your head coach. And I wasn't convinced that the Titans were going to fire Brian Callahan today, but when I heard that from Jeffrey Simmons, I said to myself, you can't have that. You've got to do it. You've got to move on.
I mean, once again, you know, and what did I say last week? What did I say last week?
Well, you said a lot of things
last week. No. What did I say in particular about winning a football game? And I wish we could pull up these clips. And I'm going to make sure, because tomorrow I want to make sure we pull up these clips from last week.
Okay.
I'm going to look through them and I'm going to find it.
Okay.
I said, if this team, if I hear after the game, if they've lost, if I hear after the game any excuses of, you know, it was a hangover or whatnot, somebody needs to be fired. Well, I guess somebody was listening to me. Seriously.
It happened.
Because when you're a leader, and we got to go back and get that clip, and hopefully we can get it for tomorrow. Your leader, Jeffrey Simmons, I'm not saying he can't. That's not what I'm saying. But when he comes, he can't be the one that says, we didn't have a good practice. Because when he says it, y'all didn't. And when he says it, you know who hears it really loudly? Those people above him. Because if somebody else said it, doesn't, it got to travel through the veterans first, and it may dissipate even before it gets to the coaches. But when the guy at the top of the food chain in the locker room says it, it doesn't have many people to go through before it needs to ding, hit somebody. It only had a few people to go through. And those people, along with the owner, heard it very, very loudly, very loudly. And they said, you know what? We heard the same thing last year. We heard this, and this is what we tried to avoid. That right there. And by golly, we heard it. It's time for him to go. Amy Adams heard it too many times in back-to-back seasons after a win, a one win in a dismal season, one win. A leader comes and say, the same leader says, yeah, we had a bad week. We were flat on Thursday. How in the hell can you be flat on Thursday? You got Monday off. You got to shake off. Tuesday, you got off. Wednesday, you come back and your practice is a long practice. So we're in it. Now we're greased up and all up. We're ready to go. And you come out on Thursday? I can see if Wednesday may have been a little flat because you're just getting into it. But you come back Thursday and you flat? Nah, man, you got to go.
It speaks to a coach who was unable to get through to his players. If, as you said, the same leader, two seasons in a row, following a win, the first time we were hung over by success, man. We won one game during a dismal season. Well, they won three games, but that was the last game they won last season at Houston. We won one game, and we were hung over by success. And then fast forward 1 year later, the Titans lose again. We had one of the worst days of practice I can remember, paraphrasing Jeffrey Simmons there. That speaks to a coach, as I just said, who is not getting through to his players, and now he doesn't have to because he doesn't have a job. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Let's start with Joey, who has been waiting patiently. Joey, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. When I got in the truck a minute ago and turned the radio on, I heard Derek's rant, and that kind of inspired me to call about Cam. But then you asked the question, Adam, about did it surprise you the firing of Callahan today? It's like I would have fired him last year. I mean, he screwed up Will Levis. There were so many miscues last year. It's just I was excited about his hire originally. Hey, this offensive guru coming in here with a good quarterback, and yeah, that sucked. But I'd have fired him last year. I was surprised it took him six games this year. As far as Cam Ward, I was in the camp of trade the pick last year. You know, fleece somebody like the Vikings, like the Cowboys did with Herschel Walker back in the day, get a bunch of picks. But now that I've watched Cam for 6 weeks and see flashes of what the guy can become, I'm excited for him. I'm excited to have him on our team. The question is, can we keep him alive when he's getting sacked 25 times through six games? The guy can't even run for his life. He can't get out of the pocket. He's so well encapsulated in there. You know, they talk about his dual threat. It's like, I don't want him running. Just, damn, take a knee as compared to some of that stuff when these guys are pounding on him. But, yeah, I'm excited for what he can become. I'm seeing flashes of things. He's making some throws. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's trying to he's getting a relationship with the three rookie receivers between Helm and then the two wideouts. I'm seeing good things that make me hopeful. It's just, one, don't screw him up. And two, keep him alive. And, you know, we'll have another high draft pick this year, and maybe that's the one we trade and, you know, find an offensive, a left tackle that doesn't give up 30 sacks a season or whatever the guy we got from Pittsburgh that paid so much money for. And, you know, Latham yesterday looked like he was on roller skates. Glad to have him back because he's better than what we had. But it's like he's going to get killed. The poor guy – I watched one sack, they split the center and the right guard. It's like, no, you take him. I'll take, no, you take him. And neither one of them blocked him.
Like, thank you for the call, Joey.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Joey.
Of course. Thank you, Joey. No, and Joey brings up the sack totals. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward sacked six times yesterday, and some of them were rough. And here's the thing that freaks me out the most, to Joey's point. Anytime someone brings up the sack totals for Cam Ward, he has taken this many sacks through this many games, the most by a young rookie quarterback since whatever the stat is. The name that is always invoked is David Carr, and that scares the crap out of me because David Carr's career was ruined by the fact that he was taking sack after sack after sack for those expansion Texans. So that always – that whenever I hear David Carr and Cam Ward in the same sentence, it freaks me out, Derek.
Yeah, and there have been other quarterbacks that've gotten sacked, you know, way too many times, and they found their way out of it. And I understand that, you know, people go back to Sean Payton and saying, hey listen, sacks are more of a quarterback's stat than anything. But I'm thinking it's mighty curious to me that in both years under this regime, the quarterback has taken a lot of sacks. I can see if Will Levis took a bunch last year, he and Mason Rudolph and Darren, you know, the next following year, Cam didn't take as many, or Cam, you know, he wasn't nowhere near. Then I would say, you know what, you know, that is a quarterback stat, because under the same offense with the same coach, Cam Ward is getting sacked. He ain't getting sacked near the times those guys got sacked, or the regime before that. But I'm starting to realize, no, it ain't a quarterback's damn stat. It's a offensive line stat. Majority, because there's no way in hell you could tell me that both of these all these quarterbacks the Titans have had over the last three seasons, that they all just took the sacks because they wanted to. The line is horrible. Who's been coaching them hasn't been good.
Well, to be fair, Mason Rudolph was much better at avoiding the sacks after being pressured.
But they still was there.
The
pressure still was there.
But Mason Rudolph did a much better job of getting rid of the ball and not getting sacked in the same way that Will Levis did. Let's go to Marlon on our phone line. Marlon's also been waiting patiently. Marlon, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, you're welcome. You guys doing okay? And happy Columbus Day all the way down here from Enterprise, Alabama.
Well, thank you.
Same to you.
I just want to make a couple of points, and I think the first one is pretty salient. How can this organization ownership continuously get it wrong year after year after year? We're talking 65 years of Super Bowl futility with this owner and this owner's family. And I think that's just a crying shame, because there's lots of Titans fans down here in Alabama. We're upset. We're sad. That's my first point. My second point is do you think a minority coach could fix this locker room? Because I just don't see any cohesiveness in this locker room. And the third point I want to make is, do you think that the Titans could pull an Alabama great and come up there and coach for a little while and get this franchise back on the rails? This franchise is in deep trouble, and that new football stadium is going to be a mausoleum if you're not careful up there. That's all I got to say. I'll hang up, and I'll call back from Enterprise here in a few weeks.
Thank you, Marlon. Thank you for the call.
I like that. Well, Nick Saban may not be.
Okay,
not,
by the
I
way.
I would love for Nick Saban to be the next coach. I would love it. Believe me.
One texter, by the way, earlier said, can y'all stomach bringing in Bill and saving him from college? I will tell you this, unnamed texter. If the Titans did that, I would quit. I would quit. No way. No how.
Bring in Nick Saban, but not Bill Belichick. Okay, I'm a big Nick fan, so you bring him in, you know, every day, all day. I'm in agreement with that. But the caller, thank you for calling from
Enterprise, Alabama.
Alabama. Thank you. I see we're reaching people far and wide with DVD and more of our shows as well. But can they get this right? After 65 years, they've had some really good teams. You know, whether it's the Bum Phillip days, you know, whether it was the Warren Moon days, whether it was the Eddie George, Jeff Fisher, you know, Steve McNair, whether it was Mike Vrabel, you know, Derrick Henry, those guys, they've had their moments. And in one of those moments, the Super Bowl was attainable. Meaning we got to the Super Bowl. But it's been too much up and down. So, Marlon from Enterprise, Alabama, can they get this right? I hope they can. I'm tired of the roller coaster, and I know you are too, and those that follow the Titans in Alabama, Enterprise Alabama, I know y'all are tired of this roller coaster and been more down than up lately. So I'm like you. I don't know. And that's what everybody's wondering. Can they get this right?
By the way, some additional news. Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi will hold a news conference at 7:30 p.m. Central.
Seriously?
7:30 p.m. Central. 8:30
Eastern.
8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
7:30 p.m. Central.
Wow.
So you all need to
stay up.
Stay up until 7:30.
They just
y'all
hate
fall,
us, man.
They're hoping y'all fall asleep. All the radio shows will be off, so can't nobody talk about it. Oh, and then the question, can a minority – I don't know who can fix this locker room. I don't know if it's a minority coach, you know, a dog, Charles Bitt. I don't know who can fix this locker room.
Are you suggesting that Air Bud?
Yeah, Air Bud. I don't know
the Tennessee
who
Titans.
Can fix this locker room. So, but they just need somebody.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction and discuss the Titans' firing of Brian Callahan. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.